This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters Radio Show. This session shares one of the three segments of the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, December 8, 2020. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Some of the school committee and central office personnel were in the council chambers. The remainder of the committee was remote via conference bridge, along with the community, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the 2-hour and 40-minute meeting into three logical segments. First, covers the opening through the discussion action items, approximately 53 minutes. Second, picks up the discussion-only items, the budget update, the K-1 return alternatives, and the reopening status through the school committee members' comments only. And that's approximately 55 minutes. The third section picks up the community comments on the reopening and then runs through the remainder of the meeting, approximately 52 minutes. They do go into executive session and do not return to public meeting. The show notes contain a link to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The meeting packet folder is also provided in the show notes, which will hold the other documents released for the meeting. And as we go to press, the superintendent's report is not yet updated to the folder. So let's listen to this segment of the school committee meeting of December 8, 2020.
Any other school committee comments?
I don't see any.
Okay. At this time, just to kind of go over the our policy regarding public statement, I'm happy to hear from everyone. We're asking if you can give your name and address, limit to no more than 3 minutes. Again, this is in a time we're not engaging in dialogue, but if you'd like to share a statement, we'll be happy to hear it. We're not going to be responding. We're not ignoring you. We're just listening, and certainly will help form future agenda items and will help inform the superintendent. So if there is anyone who would like to make a public comment, I'm going to not be rude, but I am going to time. So I'm going to ask Denise to help me with identifying.
Jessica Kelly.
Jessica. Yeah, I know Jessica. She already spoke. Go ahead, Jessica.
I sure did. Sorry. I actually just wanted to clarify, because I think it's important that my twins that I was talking about are actually not kindergartners, but they're first graders that don't know how to read. So I think that's an even I think that's important to point out. That's an even bigger concern. And I also wanted to personally offer to donate my time as a sub, if that means getting these kindergartners and first graders back.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Angela Snyder.
Go ahead.
Sorry, thank you for taking the time. And I really do appreciate the time that has been taken looking into these options. I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments.
Full name and address for the minutes, okay?
Sure. Angela Snyder, 1 Phaeton Lane in Franklin, and I have a first grade daughter at Keller. I also have a 5th grader and a 7th grader. So I have children kind of running the gamut right now, and wanted to just point out a couple of issues. One is that I just bristle a little bit when we talk about kind of all the children, like they're all kind of experiencing the same thing right now, because I think that there's a very different experience going on with the older kids. They don't like it, they're not happy, but they can do this. It's I think the way that they're learning is age appropriate. The problem with the younger kids is that no amount of creativity with remote learning is gonna help them learn in a way that is just not age appropriate for that age group. I think the other piece of it is that these children at the K and 1 age group aren't spreading COVID in the same way. I mean, there are studies now coming out, right, that they're not spreading COVID the same way the older kids are. So when we talk about the risk, we talk about the risk of having them come in, being within 6 feet, the risk to teachers, and I appreciate it. I appreciate all of it, but the risk just isn't the same with those smaller kids. So they're losing so much more than the older kids, and the risk to everyone is so much less. We can't treat them all like they're the same, because they're just not the same. These kids are in a totally different kind of scenario than the older ones who, while it isn't great, they're at least able to learn in some way. So would just ask that we use some of the creativity that has been applied to sports. We think about ways, and I know I speak for many parents when I say I would do whatever I could to help and, you know, reach out to parents, see, you know, talk about transportation, talk about alternatives. I think if the community was reached out to, we could find ways to all come together and make this happen. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I see Lisa.
Lisa, go ahead. Name, full name and address.
Thank you. I'm Lisa D. Francesco, and my address is 6 Minebrook Court. I felt like I needed to say something. I have 4 children, all in the Franklin Public School System, that we love. I just absolutely love this school system. We moved from Quincy City, and the schools were the main reason why we came here. That said, I have 2 kids who are still in elementary. One is in 3rd and one is in 1st. And they are struggling. They are struggling hard. And I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional, but parents have been through a lot. We've all been through a lot. But it breaks my heart to see, similar to what Jessica said, that they are frustrated and they are having a tough time. One of my children started having anxiety attacks. We talk about the mental health component in adults during this whole pandemic, but we're not talking about it in children. And school for children that age is everything. That's their day, that's their life. And they spent a lot of time in their lives in that scenario, and to have that just gone and is difficult. So I'm not discounting all of the many, many factors that it is going to take to make this happen and to have them return to school. I know we all want that. But I think just because it might be a little bit difficult and we do have to get creative, doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. We need to, and they need us to figure it out, because we're their voice. So thank you.
Thank you. Do you see anyone else?
Amy Danny.
Oh, Amy Danny. Amy, go ahead. Just full name and address, Amy.
Hi, Amy Danahy, 16 Mary Ellen Lane. So I just wanted to talk about a couple of things. First of all, to the lady who just talked, I feel you. I'm a teacher, and I actually am a reading specialist, and I teach every grade. And it's definitely the K-1 kids who are struggling the most. And I think the reason why they're struggling the most is because they can't do anything by themselves, and they need someone with them all the time, and it's hard. So I feel you, and I just know that every school is going through it. If there's, you know, if there's a way to figure it out, I think that it would be great for those families. I do also want to just let parents know that if your child's not reading K in first grade, it's okay. You know, up until a few years ago, we didn't even expect it from kids at that age. So it's not even really a developmentally appropriate thing. So I don't worry too much about it. They will get through this, and it will be fine. This is actually a great opportunity to kind of step back and do more age appropriate things for them. I also wanted to talk a little bit about some of the comments I heard from the school committee members up to the administration about having a better plan in place at this point. I know that we really want these kids to go back to school, but I also want to remind everybody that the administration is working very, very hard right now, and they have so much on their plate they're probably working 18-hour days. They are working especially hard, and I just think that it's unfair to say, well, why is the sport so comprehensive where this isn't? The sports was done for them from whenever the high school, you know, NCAA for high school is or whatever, I'm not sure the term, but they have so much on their plate. So I really do think that's a little unfair. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and by the way, my kid is getting library books. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but my kid is getting library books. And I think that was about it. Oh, one more thing. My school, this is as far as the part about the teachers being really overworked right now. My school, we take Wednesdays for common planning time, and it works really well. Like, I'm still really, really stressed, but I don't think I'm as stressed as what I'm hearing from the teachers in Franklin. So what we do is Wednesday is a fully asynchronous day, and we do our whole team meeting and our common planning time, and we have that whole day with our whole grade level to plan for the whole week. And it's really, really helpful, and it's taken a lot of the stress out. It's also like a really good bonding time for us. So those are just some of my thoughts.
Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
JG?
Oh, hi. I think that's me. Okay. I'm Jacqueline Gupka. I live at 12 Penny Lane. I've spoken on this topic on several meetings, so maybe you're sick of hearing from me. But I just wanted to say, number one, thank you for taking the extra steps to really listen to those of us who have reached out to the school committee and the emails and in this meeting. You know, it means a lot to even take, you know, this first step, even though there's a lot of steps to go to get to the place that our kids need to be. So I have a 7th grader, 5th grader, and kindergarten twins. And so I see two personality types at the kindergarten level and how they struggle. And one has a lot of anxiety and anger from, you know, sitting and listening to the screen. So I've seen a lot. I also want to just take a minute to acknowledge the teacher that spoke up in the beginning about the level of stress that she has and how she feels every day. You know, I'm a working mom, so I have a full-time job. I have, you know, besides my kindergartners, two other kids to, you know, help here and there, not too much, but the asynchronous learning time is 100% parent assistance time. There's nothing that a kindergartner can do on the laptop that does not require a parent being present. So I feel the extra workload because I, you know, I'm doing like 2 or 3 hours of kindergarten work on top of my full-time job. So I feel the stress. I know that the stress goes across all levels of the community. So I just really appreciate us taking, you know, the extra step. And then I also wanted to say that obviously the more days in school would be better, but there are definitely other things that could be done to increase how well kids at this young age are doing in school. And using a iPad or a touchscreen would definitely be one of those things. My girls are asked frequently to write using the mouse pad, you know, to practice letters and numbers, and they cannot do that. But something with a screen, a touch screen and a stylus, you know, would take us so much further because they could actually hold it like a pencil and touch the screen. So I think that these conversations to get kids back in school more are great. And then there's other things that we could definitely do as a community to make this easier for them besides that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else? A comment that has not yet been made, and we'd be happy to hear.
Jess Crosby? Okay. Hi. Yeah. My maiden name's actually, I mean, that's my maiden name. My married name is Ternullo. I live at 4 Longfellow Drive, and I'm also a teacher at Annie Sullivan and the parent of a kindergartner at Davis there. So if you guys think that you're stressed out, welcome to my world. But I actually just want to push back a little bit on some of the comments that have been made by parents. And the first one is about kindergarten. My son's teachers, he has Liz Phillips and Courtney Callahan, have done an absolutely unbelievable job with him. He goes down into our basement, he opens up his Chromebook, he opens it right up to Google Classroom, to the Google slideshow that they've created that is like over 70 slides long every single week. I cannot imagine how much time they must have spent creating these. And he goes right to the slide that says these are the materials he needs for the day. He picks them all out, and then he knows how to click on his morning meeting. Now, it's not perfect. He needs support sometimes, but he knows exactly what he's supposed to do because the teachers have set it up like that for him. There are multiple voice recordings on every single slide that are set up for every single time chunk of his day. And yes, he finishes his work early sometimes and he has downtime, but I have been beyond impressed with the work that these teachers have done and how my son has responded to it. And I know that that may be unusual, but I just wanted to put that out there because I just, as a teacher, when you hear comments like this, it's really hard when you're working as hard as we are to not take it personally. So I wanted to say that first. I just wanted to acknowledge the work that they're doing. And the other comment I wanted to make, which I don't think other teachers have made yet, is just at the middle school level, I just want people to know that another source of stress is that daily I have students coming in and telling me things that they're doing outside of school that are breaking the rules that we're all supposed to be following. They're sleeping over at each other's houses. They're going to other states. They're doing big family indoor parties. So that's really stressful when you're listening to students, different students, coming in and telling you that every single day. And then at the middle school level, I don't know what the other levels are like, but we have a lot of student absences and nobody tells you why they're absent. A couple weeks ago, I was supposed to have about, I don't know, between 35 and 40 students in for the 2 days, and 7 or 8 of them were absent. I mean, that's 20% of the kids that were supposed to be there. Nobody told us why they were absent. The kids were reluctant to explain to us why they weren't in school. So you've got to imagine that they've been in contact with somebody, or they have reason to believe that they may have COVID and they're getting tested. But that's just another source of stress for teachers, in addition to all of the other things that we're working on with this new learning model. And the last thing I wanted to say is just that I've noticed recently, since the hybrid model started at the middle school, that I have lost touch with some of my fully remote students, because I'm not sure if people are aware, but at the middle school and maybe at the high school, I have students that come 4 days a week. I have students that come 2 days a week. And I also have students that don't come to school at all. And I have to teach all of them all the time. And that's really challenging. And ever since hybrid started, I feel like those kids that have been fully remote, I haven't been able to connect with as easily as I was able to when we were all fully remote and we were all doing all the same things together. So that was just one other thing I just wanted to mention.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate your comments very, very much. Thank you.
Kristen Walsh.
Kristen, go ahead.
Hi there, Kristen Walsh. I am a teacher at Oak Street Elementary School, and I just wanted to say thank you to Dr. Bergen for being dramatic, like you said, but the way that you were advocating for teachers and sharing, you know, that we are on the front lines and how much you appreciate our work. You have no idea how me and my colleagues appreciate your kind words. And same with Ms. Spencer for advocating for teachers with her questions and comments. I just did have some questions that I wanted to share about surveying families. I think that for all stakeholders to be involved, it would be really great to survey staff first. I think that that would be a priority before sending out a survey to family members. And I've also been just thinking about what was just mentioned about teacher stress and how that is growing daily with the new information from Governor Baker. Our school currently has over 10 staff members quarantining, and that is scary on a daily basis. And just echoing what the teacher prior to me just said about how students are coming in sharing about sleepovers, activities outside of school, and they are not, we are doing our best, but keeping that distance of 6 feet is a real, real challenge when I work with 8 and 9 year olds on a daily basis. So that is extremely challenging. And I just think that those are things that we need to consider moving forward. And I hate to think that families don't want us, that we don't want to have kids in. That's my whole life, having children, my whole class with me. And I want that as much as possible, but we do need to think about the safety of all the stakeholders in the community, including our teachers. And the last thing that I would like to know more information on was that it was mentioned that we're monitoring staff stress and well-being. How is that being monitored? And how are we sharing weekly or figuring out best ways to help staff members with their stress, their well-being? Because the comment made by the teacher at the opening, the opening comments was very discerning to me, and put I think a bunch of my colleagues and I on the same level as her, thinking about our daily stress that we are doing to make sure that we are meeting the needs of all of our students in hybrid, with the kids at home and in school, and you know, putting on a smiling face and making it the best experience possible. So I would like more information about how we're monitoring staff stress and well-being, because this is hard, but I appreciate all of the positivity that we're hearing from the school committee tonight for teachers. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Christine Anderson.
Christine, go ahead, just name and address.
Hi, my name is Christine Anderson and I live at 5 Peters Lane. I just wanted to speak quickly. I have 4 children in the Franklin school systems, a first grader, twins in seventh grade, and a junior in high school. And my first grade son, he struggles. He has some speech issues and some other issues that he's receiving services for. However, our first grade teacher in Jefferson has made it so easy for us to be hybrid. And he does struggle on his own, but his special education teacher has laid out a presentation that it's a one pager, so it's easy for him that he can help to maneuver himself. I do work from home, so I can help him a bit, but I do think that I heard Dr. Hearn say that the schools will be meeting to discuss best practices. And I just want to say that I feel for the parents that are struggling, but it can work if the right procedures are in place. I also would just like to ask, as the team is thinking through the implications of going full time and bringing the kids back in, the productive time associated with the teaching. So if, for example, the kids have to be split in 2 different classrooms, and there's one classroom that has the teacher teaching and then one classroom where someone's observing the kids and they're doing classroom on their own, just speaking from personal experience, that would actually be less teaching time that my son is receiving if he's hybrid. And then lastly, if I could just ask that if we move to less than 3 feet of distance, speaking personally, that would make me uncomfortable. That I know as a parent, that's my choice, but it's not as simple as saying that I can then, he can switch to VLA, because with that, he loses all of the staff that he has become accustomed to, not just his core teacher, but also his special education teachers, which make it so much easier for him. And so as you make this decision, I know it has to be for the best of all stakeholders, but I am just asking you to think through all the implications that the parents would have to think through that may not be captured through a simple survey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Heather?
Heather, go ahead. Just full name and address.
Hi, Heather Sansusi. I'm at 3 Downingwood Drive in the JFK area. Just wanted to thank everybody that's been involved in tonight's meeting. Obviously, this is unprecedented, and I think what we really know is that it's not just Franklin. It's not just Massachusetts, it's the entire world that has children suffering right now with this whole school issues, and we also have it on the teacher side. So no matter what, it's happening everywhere. And I think if there was an easy answer, it would have been done and we would see it and we'd be able to just kind of do that. So obviously we can see that there are no easy answers. And we can also see that everybody is working tirelessly, from the administration to yourselves on the school committee, to the teachers, the children, and the parents. It's everybody's involved is really working hard to make this be a positive, if we can ever make it a positive experience to do that. And so what I wanted to offer up was just a thought or an idea. I think a lot of you know that I'm involved in with the Facebook group, so how can we support our Franklin public schools? And immediately after the first teacher spoke today and talked about all of the struggles that she's been seriously having, there were people that instantly started writing on Facebook, how can we help? What do we do? This poor woman, I can't believe it. We stand behind our teachers. So I hope everybody understands that we do. This community stands behind our public educators, and we are also here to offer whatever assistance is needed. So if a teacher needs to spend 30 minutes uploading a document, please ask for a volunteer that could help do that. I could sit here with my laptop and upload documents all day long while I do my other job. That's something I could do. Just thinking about it from my perspective, or if there's anything else, you probably don't do photocopying anymore, but if you need somebody to photocopy, I'm sure you could find about 20 volunteers to head into the school to do something like that. So I would just ask that when you do these surveys or you do send out these messages to the community, that you also ask for volunteers. Clearly we have to follow COVID guidelines before anybody can enter a building or any of that. But if there's something that can be done, that community volunteers, please, people are ready and willing to do it. So we can work together and really become a stronger community for it. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. Thanks, Heather.
Erin Reagan?
Again, yes. Just if any comment that has not yet been made, go ahead. And just full name and address?
Of course. It's Erin Reagan. It's 5 Crystal Pond Lane. So I just wanted to, first of all, thank everyone. I know I'm probably becoming a broken record at this point, but I just want to make sure I give it the full justice, because clearly the thoughtfulness and time that's been spent on this, it's no easy task, and clearly not what any of us have signed up for. So thank you. That being said, I will say it was definitely a bit disheartening to join tonight's session thinking that there would be more of an actionable plan to have the committee and community react to. And just looking at the amount of participants on tonight's call, I think at one point when I looked, there were upwards of 200 attendees. Clearly, this is a hot topic. But then to only find a few options laid out with still a lot more research to do leaving tonight's session, I just really would hope that we can kind of reinforce some of the messages that some of the committee members made tonight, which is a real strong bias towards action, because clearly, each day that goes by is just another day lost for these young learners. And as a parent of a kindergartner, one item to note, and maybe even just reinforce from Angela's comments earlier, there's just such a clear difference for the kindergarten and first grade learners, specifically in their inability to read. Therefore, on the days that they're remote, they are very unable to do work independently. They need constant oversight. And as a dual full-time working parent, which I'm hearing from many of these other folks that have spoken tonight, it's a very common scenario. It's nearly impossible to provide that constant oversight. And it absolutely breaks my heart to know that I may be the reason that my son isn't getting the support that he needs. And then I think the last thing I would just say is, I want to just reinforce what other parents have said, like, this is all a community effort and we're all ready and willing to make this work, and we can be really flexible. We've all already had to be really flexible. So just reach out to us. We can really get creative. We want to be part of the solution. I just am reacting even to some of the concerns about transportation earlier and a couple of pickups, et cetera. I think I'd be speaking for a lot of families. we've all already had to make a lot of flexibility work. I mean, some people have quit their jobs. Others have kids behind us on Zoom calls for work. We'll continue to do that. This is going to take the entire community. So I just would encourage this to be a team effort, team sport, right? So thank you, and a heartfelt thank you to the whole committee.
Thank you very much.
Lauren Davies.
Lauren, go ahead. Just full name and address, please.
Yeah, my name is Lauren Davies. I live at 78 Conlin Ave. I work at Oak Street Elementary as an ESP for third and fourth grade, and I also have two children in the Franklin Public School System, one in sixth grade at Horace Mann and one at the high school in ninth grade. And I just want to touch upon when we talk about adding staff or pulling staff from the upper grades. And while I get that all of these kids are struggling, my high schooler is struggling, my nephew who's in first grade is struggling, my sixth grader is struggling. All across the board, we're struggling. Us as adults, we're struggling. So it would be a lie to say that we don't all feel this and we don't all know that this is happening. But when we think about, and I just want everyone to think thoughtfully, if we went on the route of pulling staff, I'm being pulled in many directions. And while I absolutely love being there and love doing this, I can only go in so many directions. So if I were to be pulled from the classrooms that I'm in, which there's higher need students, there's students on IEP, there's many different, you know, things happening in those classrooms. Those kids lose that support from the staff that's being pulled to then help in the lower grades, which I'm not discrediting that they need the help and they need to be in school full time. So I just want everyone to think thoughtfully when you go through this process, and all across the board, we're missing out on staff. My high schooler has classes that sometimes she doesn't have anybody there other than a sub to sit there and make sure, just kind of overseeing the teacher at home teaching the class. So it's all across the board. So we all know that that's happening. And some days I wish, you know, when I come home, I don't have to then help and teach my kids. But we've all heard the saying, we're all in this together. And I think that really rings true, that we all do have to, you know, come together, help each other. I don't know how volunteering works when it comes to being in the school at this point. But like Heather had mentioned, you know, even photocopying. I can't tell you how many hours teachers spend, because at the elementary level, we are still photocopying packets and packets of work for them to take home each week, because we're not using the book. So I just want those thoughts to kind of sit with people who don't know the insides of it totally sometimes. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Again, any comments that have not yet been made, we certainly want to hear everybody.
William Ertl.
Good job.
thank you.
William Ertl, Will Ertl. I live at number 4 Mockingbird Lane in Franklin, obviously. I have a first grade student in Franklin. And I mean, first and foremost, I want to make sure I take the time as a parent to thank the teachers, especially my son's teachers, who are doing a fantastic job. They're engaging. They're available to me and my wife when we have questions, when we have concerns. But that being said, there is only so much they can do. And it's not that they have a tremendous class size against the national average. They're actually doing pretty well in the number of kids that are in the class. But I'm sure in this instance, it feels like there's still far too many. But as many people have talked about before, in first grade, nothing replaces being in person. Nothing replaces learning to learn, learning to go to school, learning to understand how to react and act in school, and how to take in information on a day in and day out basis, and to grow as an individual outside of the home. Right? In the home, they know where their comfort zone is. They know what's going on. They know they can walk into mom and dad at any point in time and feel safe and comforting. In school, they learn and grow as individuals. It's massively important, and not something that can happen over a computer. I'm really concerned that we've talked about, and I've been on these calls and spoken on most of them for 2 months about a survey to get feedback from parents. And to echo some of the committee members, I'm shocked that we're at a point where we actually haven't asked for that feedback yet. If there's an issue with writing the survey, there's numerous individuals in this community that can help do that, that probably do it for a living. And I'm also concerned that we've been hearing feedback on behalf of teachers during these meetings over the last several months. And I'm hearing on tonight's call that the teachers don't feel like they've been surveyed for that feedback. So we're pitting parents and teachers against each other in a really unhealthy relationship at times. I don't know what it's like for a teacher right now in a classroom trying to teach virtually and live at the same time. And for the most part, they don't understand what I'm seeing every day with my son when they're asking him to use YouTube to help him learn to read aloud. But then, I don't know if you guys spend much time on YouTube, but as soon as that video is done, the next one pops up, and the next one pops up, and the next one pops up, and 20 minutes goes by, and he's watching a Nerf gun advertisement on YouTube, right? God forbid it goes off into a place with a video that's not school appropriate. Right? There's a lot of downstream potential impacts there that we need to get to very quickly. And final one, something I've heard a lot tonight's call is, I'm very concerned about COVID. I have an elderly parent that lives very actively with us. We have to help take care of her. That being said, what the governor put out does not talk about rolling back schools. And for people to be referencing Governor Baker, suggesting that we need to roll back, we need to pay attention to what he's saying, when for the entirety of this school year, he's been messaging that schools should be open, that kids should be in school. It almost seems convenient that now we're going to listen to what he is saying and that we should keep them closed when he's been saying they should be open for the entire first half of this year and we couldn't do that. It just seems we're somewhat unprepared in this situation.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your comments. Thank you. Anyone else a comment that has not yet been made?
Megan Benson.
Megan, full name and address, please.
Hi, it's Eric Benson. I'm here. Oh. 19 Winthrop Drive. First and foremost, thank you to the school committee. Thank you very much, the teachers. We understand how difficult your job is in these days, COVID times, and we understand how hard you're working, and we really do appreciate that. Certainly, I don't think anybody is blaming the teachers in any way for any of this. I think the problem is even the best teacher in the world would struggle with a hybrid learning model for kindergarten first graders, because if you can't read, it's very difficult to navigate a computer and to do remote learning assignments when you can't even follow along with the instructions. It's a real challenge. And to echo, not to belabor the point, but to echo some of the previous comments, the asynchronous learning and the remote learning, it's in K and one, almost entirely dependent upon parents being right next to the child and holding their hand the entire way. Almost nothing would be accomplished, at least in our experience. I'm sure there are some students that are quite capable of this. I think that they're in the minority, the small minority, who can actually manage this on their own, K and one. And also, I just wanted to stress again the psychological impact that this is having on K and one kids. It's very troubling to see that our first grade daughter loved school at the beginning of the year. She loved kindergarten, couldn't wait to go to school. Over the past 2 months has developed incredible anxiety over the remote learning, the whole model, and now has lost almost all interest in school and doesn't even want to wake up to go to school. And it happened in just a matter of a 2 month period of time. So it's there is a real psychological impact, at least for those young kids. I'm sure it's true for the older kids. We just don't know. We have a kindergartner and first grader, and they're both struggling mightily, and particularly the first grader. But again, thank you very much to the teachers and to the committee for entertaining this very important topic.
And sorry, Megan Benson, one second point would be thinking of just like, so obviously, like Will Ertl mentioned, I think there's a lot of, if the issue with the survey is trying to like actually design the survey, get it out, all of that. I think you have a lot of parent volunteers that would be happy to help who, again, do that for a living. I'm one of them. My other, so throwing that out there, but then as another point to that, I'm hoping that the survey would also reassess transportation needs, because I know I would hate for the busing to kind of play into certain scenarios and whether or not they're feasible. Because I think, you know, we should, I guess, reassess that, because I know that we, you know, right now my girls do take the bus, but if it meant them being in person more days, we could certainly drop them off. So I think that that's another thing that should be reassessed, just to get a true sense of, you know, the transportation need. So other than that, just again, thank you for everybody being here and listening, and for everything you've been doing.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Anyone, again, a comment that has not yet been made, a point that has not yet been made.
I see someone, but I don't see a name.
There's a number.
868128.
Hi, it's Jen Devine. I live at 7 Wiley Road.
Go ahead.
First and foremost, obviously a huge thank you to everybody out there. Teachers obviously are doing a tremendous amount of work, and I had to quit basically temporarily my job to help stay home with our two kids, first grade and second grade. And my first grader I definitely have to sit with, because A, he's a boy, and because I need to make sure that he's staying on track. My second grader has daily challenges over things that are minor that she makes huge. I think it's part of anxiety that's coming out inside of her. But meanwhile, on the days that she's in school, she performs phenomenal. Again, obviously you want your kids to perform the best when they're outside of home, and obviously they save their, you know, misbehavior times at home. I get it, it's a comfort level. The second thing is, you talk about half day possible plans. How is that going to work for A, cleaning time frame, A, and B, if cohort A is in school, but we're cohort B, as a cohort B, are we still gonna be doing our morning half sort of remote learning, and then our afternoon half we're in person? Think about that as a mental type of deal, as yay, I get to go to school, but I don't get to go to later. I still can't see my friends that I see in A. Like, think about the whole mental aspect of the kids and feel for them. Really put yourselves in their shoes of what they're going through. I get you want them in there. We all want them in there. But if they're safe the way they are right now, then just kind of leave it. But then maybe rethink as the vaccine comes out towards February, has how things are safer in that aspect. And I don't know, I've lost my itch there. But I do want to say thank you. And thank you for your sorts of plans and thoughts. And I obviously will be volunteering for anything that I can. I've already reached out to our teachers. If I can help in any sort of way, I would love to do that. Thank you all.
Thank you. Again, anyone comment that has not yet been made?
I do not see anyone. I think
good.
We're good.
All right, good. That was good comments, good calls. All right. Updated school committee presentation schedule.
For your information, I worked and shared this with Ann and Denise to revise the school committee presentations for upcoming meetings. We had a couple standalone presentations, for example, on social emotional learning, which we folded into district improvement goal update number one. And in talking with Ann as well, related to, we typically have school improvement plan updates in the spring. The school improvement plans are going to closely follow the district improvement plans. So we're going to revisit a model that had happened prior to my time beginning in Franklin, which is that on the evening in which the school presents there's a school representative doing the pledge of leading the Pledge of Allegiance. There will also be a highlight from that school shared on the same evening from the principal as well as others that may be invited to attend. So that's just subject to change in future iterations, but wanted to give the committee an updated version of the presentation schedule.
Moving along, new business. So, information matters. I skipped over information matters. Just a quick, starting with budget, we had our, as you know, budget workshop last week, last Tuesday, in which we, a big portion of it was to share the priorities of each and every committee member. And from that data, what the budget subcommittee will be doing is putting together information for the public based on the information we feel very important to get out to educate the public, keep the public informed in an open and transparent way about the upcoming year for budget, particularly the budget timelines. And we want to encourage the public to stay involved, and we want them to know when all the hearings are, when all the meetings are, so that the public can be engaged in that. The budget subcommittee is going to be meeting with FinCom next Tuesday at 6:30 PM. So I think that's where we are on that, and go from there. Community relations and MASC.
We are in the process of trying to pick a next meeting date for community relations, and nothing for MASC.
Okay, very, very good. How about policy, MJ?
You're muted, MJ.
All right.
Here we go.
But thank you, Spencer.
You're welcome.
Policy will be meeting next Thursday, the 17th at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Very good. Facilities analysis, Elise, any updates for us?
Just a short update. We've got a meeting tomorrow. I'll report back at our next school committee meeting.
Okay. And ad hoc superintendent evaluation, we completed. Usually there's a huge gap between when you when the evaluation is completed and then when you start the new goals, and it's an ad hoc committee, so we're starting a new committee, and I wanted to thank our last committee, Elise Stokes and Jen D'Angelo, who did a great job in working with me and doing a very thorough evaluation. So the new ad hoc committee will be Tim Keenan, Elise Stokes, and me, and we are going to be setting up a meeting with the superintendent to go over goals first before the goals are submitted to the full committee. So we're working right now on planning that meeting. And how about joint PCCs? I know, Judy, you were going to give us an update.
Yes, I have the update date that was done by Dee Miller and the superintendent's office. There were representatives, this was on November 23rd. Representatives of most of every school in Franklin was present. Dr. Hearn presented the information on the portrait of a graduate and noted that the graphics were done by Anne Marie Tracy and that the presentation will be given to the school committee on at the 11:24 meeting. Dr. Hearn also noted that the budget is still being worked on, noted that the state has made a commitment to education, but the numbers are still not final. A discussion between the various members as to the fifth grade graduation this June, what kind of graduation plans they could have, and questions about equity among the schools. Some schools have more money than others. Dr. Hearn also noted that the Franklin Food Pantry still needs our help, and schools will pick a month to donate to the food pantry. The next meeting will be on December 22nd. If participation is low, the meeting will be rescheduled. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. Substance use, we have another meeting coming up sometime.
We do on December 22nd, Dr.
Thank you. Okay. How about SWAC? Any update? We know that we've got the boot. Any update on SWAC?
We meet next December 15th.
December 15th. Very good. And Racial and Social Justice Committee has not met, and we'll let you know when the next meeting is going to be there. Let's see. I think I covered all of those. Okay. How about new business, Dr. Hearn?
New business. So as shown in the new schedule for school committee presentations. You will have a highlight from ECDC on your next meeting. We'll continue with a status update on reopening. We have Diane Plouffe representing the art and music department to come to talk about instruction and performances and exhibits related to that content area. And one of the things that I want to put on your radar screen for either that meeting or early in January is that the Student Opportunity Act plans are now due. I do anticipate having a little bit more information from the Department of Education later this week, but we haven't talked about that in some time. It initially came up kind of in the last February timeframe. So that will be returning to you before January 15th when it is due for submission.
Consent agenda, Dr. Hearn.
Sure, I recommend approval of the minutes from your November 24th, 2020 school committee meeting as detailed. And I recommend acceptance of a check for $29.69 from Ohio Pile Prints, Inc. for in-house enrichment and FHS as detailed.
Entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
So moved.
A second, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay. No, yes?
No.
Oh, I thought
you were.
Nope. Seeing none, the vote will come. Roll call vote to approve the consent agenda. Jen D'Angelo.
Yes.
Tim Keenan.
Yes.
Judy Pfeffer.
Yes.
MJ Schofield.
Yes.
Denise Spencer.
Yes.
Elise Stokes.
Yes.
And Ann Bergen. Yes. Consent agenda approved. Payment of bills. I did review the bills. They are in order. Jen, payroll.
I did review payroll. Payroll's in order.
Okay. So at this time, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. And again, for the purpose of going into executive session, and I will read the reason for executive session. Pursuant to Mass General Law, Chapter 30A, 21A3, to discuss strategy with respect to collective bargaining with the FEA, as an open meeting may have a detrimental effect on the bargaining position of the school committee and the chair so declares. So I will entertain a motion to go into executive session. Again, we will not be returning.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, now we would have a motion to adjourn, roll call vote to go into executive session. Jen D'Angelo.
Yes.
Yes. Tim Keenan.
Yes.
Judith Pond Pfeffer.
Yes.
Mary Jane Schofield.
Yes.
Denise Spencer?
Yes.
And Elise Stokes?
Yes.
And Ann Bergen, meeting adjourned to go into executive session.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.